The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 2, text number 53, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 2nd, 2007, in Riga, Latvia.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 2, text number 53. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shruti, oh yes, you don't have books, so I will just read. Shruti vipratipanate yadastasyati nishchala samadavachala buddhistada yogam avapshiyasi. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and when it remains fixed in the trance of self-realization, then you will have attained the divine consciousness. Purport. To say that one is in samadhi is to say that one has fully realized Krishna consciousness. That is, one in full samadhi has realized Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. The highest perfection of self-realization is to understand that one is eternally the servitor of Krishna and that one's only business is to discharge one's duties in Krishna consciousness. A Krishna conscious person or unflinching devotee of the Lord should not be disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, nor be engaged in fruitive activities for promotion to the heavenly kingdom. In Krishna consciousness, one comes directly into communion with Krishna, and thus all directions from Krishna may be understood in that transcendental state. One is sure to achieve results by such activities and attain conclusive knowledge. One has only to carry out the orders of Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadhantikam. So, Krishna is speaking about attaining the divine consciousness. There is nothing more desirable than attaining that divine state of consciousness. In that state of divine consciousness, one is totally satisfied. One is not in the least bit frustrated by anything.
Un šādā stāvoklī cilvēks nav satrauks nemaz lietiņās, ne par ko.
Krishna then gives some indication of what it takes to be situated in that divine consciousness.
Un tad Krishna norāda uz to, kas ir nepieciešams, lai atrastos šādā te dievišķā apziņā.
One's mind should no longer be disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas. The Vedas give, for those who are materially attached, the Vedas give different prescriptions how to gratify one's senses in a gradually more detached way.
Tiem, kas ir ļoti, kuriem ir dažādas materiālās pieķeršanās, veidas dot dažādus norādījumus, kā apmierināt savus materiālās vēlmes tādā veidā, kas ir tādā, kas vismazākā pieķeršanās veidā.
If one becomes very much infatuated with these Vedic descriptions, then one will lose one's ability to attain the divine consciousness.
Un, ja kāds pārlieku pieķerās šai veidām, šai veidu valodai, tad viņš zaudē iespēju iegūt šo dievišķo apziņu.
We are not interested in gradual elevation. We want to come to the topmost position, the divine consciousness, Krishna consciousness.
Mēs neesam interesēti pacelt, nedaudz tikai pacelties augšu. Mēs esam interesēti sasniegt galējo, visaugstāko dievišķo apziņu, Krishna apziņu.
The gradual pathway can take many, many lifetimes.
Pakāpenisks ceļš aizņem daudz un daudz dzīves.
And there are many, many dangers along the way.
Un ir ārkārtīgi daudz dažādu briesmu šajā ceļā.
Especially in the Kali Yuga, we should simply take to the path of pure Krishna bhakti.
Un īpaši Kali Yuga mums ir jāiet par tīru Krishna bhakti ceļu.
By complete surrender at the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna.
Pilnīgi nododoties Guru un Krishnas lotus pēdā.
Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. After wandering through the universe, the upper planets, the lower planets,
ceļojot cauri visumam, no visaugstākajām līdz viszemākajām planētām.
One living entity who is very fortunate.
Tā dzīvā būtne, kas ir ārkārtīgi veiksmīga.
Receives by the grace of Krishna.
Ar Krishna žēlstību saņem.
The seed of bhakti planted within the heart.
Saņem bhakti sēkliņu, kas tiek iestādīta sirdī.
So, if one receives that seed by coming in contact with the bona fide spiritual master,
un ja kāds saņem šo sēkliņu, nonākot kontaktā ar patiesu garīgo skolotāju,
that is the key to how to achieve the divine consciousness.
Un tas, tā tad ir atslēga, kā sasniegt šo dievišķo apziņu.
And when that seed is planted in your heart,
un tad, kad šī sēkliņa ir iesēta jūsu sirdī,
if you think, well, this is very nice, but I like these other things too. These weeds are very attractive as well.
Un ja es domāju, oh, šī ir ļoti jauka lieta, bet es vēlos arī tās pārējās, un tās nezāles arī ir ārkārtīgi pievilcīgas.
So I think along with the bhakti seed, I also cultivate these weeds, because they're very nice weeds.
Un ja es līdz ar šo bhakti sēkliņu arī rūpēšos par šīm nezālēm, kas izskatās ļoti pievilcīgas un jaukas.
But what is the problem with weeds?
Bet kāda ir problēma ar nezālēm?
They grow very fast.
Nezāles aug ļoti ātri.
They reproduce like anything.
Viņas tik ātri vairojas kā nekas cits.
And they choke out the creeper.
Un viņas vienkārši nomāc to stādiņu.
Therefore, if you want to be a successful bhakti gardener,
un tāpēc jūs vēlties būt veiksmīgs bhakti dārznieks,
you must pull out all the weeds of material desires from your heart.
Jums ir jāizravē no savas sirds visas materiālo vēlmi nezāles.
Do not think that I will cultivate bhakti and material desires at the same time.
Nedomājiet, ka jūs varat apkopt vienlaicīgi kā bhakti un nezāles, bhakti sēkliņu nezāles.
If you do, the material desires will take the upper hand.
Un ja jūs tā darīsiet, šīs te materiālās nezāles būs virsroku.
That's the reality.
Un tā ir realitāte.
If you want to taste that divine consciousness,
ja jūs vēlaties izbaudīt šo te dievišķo apziņu,
then you must very aggressively pull out all those weeds.
Tad jums ļoti agresīvi ir jārauj nezāles ārā.
Not at the surface.
Ne tikai virspusē.
You have to pull them out by the root.
Jums ir jātiek līdz saknei un jāizrauj ārā.
So they're completely, totally gone.
Lai viņas ir pilnībā, pilnībā prom.
Now some people are afraid to do that.
Dažs cilvēki baidās to darīt.
They think, well, I like my weeds.
Viņi saka, bet man patīk manas nezāles.
But what comfort are they giving you?
Bet kādu tad ērtumu tās dod jums?
What benefit are you getting from those weeds in your heart?
Kādus ievūmus jūs gūstat no šīm nezālēm savā sirdī?
They're simply forcing you to experience the threefold miseries.
tās vienkārši liek jums izjust trīs veidu ciešanas.
Adi Atmik, Adi Bhautik, and Adi Daivik. Bhagavatam, therefore, says, Dharmak projita kaitava utrapalamo nirmatsaranam sutam vejam vastivamasta shivadam tapatriyon mulanam shri triya mulanam. You see it. The root. Mula means root. So this Bhagavatam philosophy, it uproots these threefold miseries. It pulls them out by the root.
Bhagavatam philosophy pilnībā sakne izravē šīs trīs veidu ciešanas.
So if you want to get those weeds out of your heart, you must hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. To read these books is a wonderful thing. You know why? I just received an email from Mr. Bimal Sharma this morning from Fiji. And Mr. Sharma asked me, he said, how can I feel Krishna's presence?
Un šis kungs, kur uzvārds Sharma, jautā, kā gan es varētu sajūst to, ka Krishna ir klātesošs?
Srila Prabhupāda has answered that question in one lecture.
Srila Prabhupāda kādā no lekcijām atbild šo jautājumu.
He says that if you simply seriously study Bhagavad Gita, you will feel how Krishna is present. So my question for you is this. If you actually feel how Krishna is present with you, how could you be attracted to anything of this material world?
Ja jūs jūtat, ka Krishna šobrīd ir šeit, kā gan jūs varat pieķerties jebkam citam materiālajā pasaulē?
Is that possible?
Vai tas ir iespējams?
If you actually felt that Krishna was present with you,
ja jūs tiešām jūtat, ka Krishna ir šeit, jūs priekšā,
would anything of this world attract you?
Vai jebkas šajā pasaulē varētu jūs pievilkt?
What do you think? Who would like to answer that? If you actually felt how Krishna was present, would anything of this world be attractive to you?
Vai tad, ja jūs justu, redzētu, ka Krishna ir šeit, jūs priekšā?
Yes or no?
Varētu jūs...
There's a no back there, okay?
Jā vai nē?
So this is a very good point then.
Un tās ir ļoti laba doma šeit.
We have to feel how Krishna is present.
Mums ir jājūt, kā Krishna ir šeit.
And all we have to do is seriously study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we will feel how Krishna is present.
Vienīgais, kas mums jādara, ir ļoti nopietni jāstudē Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, tad mēs to jūtīsim.
And if Krishna is present, then all material miseries become conspicuous by their absence.
Un tad, ja mēs jūtīsim, ka Krishna ir šeit, tad visas materiālās ciešanas vienkārši izzudīs, tāpēc, ka viņas neeksistēs.
So the point is, it is not really that difficult to achieve the divine consciousness. You simply have to seriously hear the Bhagavad Gita from the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. And seriously read it also in your own time, your own free time. So in this way, you will be in the divine consciousness.
Tādā veidā jūs būsiet dievišķā apziņā.
And you will no longer be disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas.
Un jūs vairāk nesatrauks Vēdu buģēnā valodā.
You will no longer allow any of the weeds to grow within the garden of your heart.
Un jūs vairāk neļausiet savā sirds dārzā augt jau kādām nezālēm.
And you will taste the unlimited nectar of Krishna bhakti at every minute.
Un jūs katru minūti izjūtīsiet neierobežotu Krishna bhakti nektāru.
So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Tagad es jautāju, vai ir kādi jautājumi?
Yes.
Viens no iemesliem, kāpēc pievienojos izskanam, tieši bija šī veida krāšanā valoda.
Es atvainojos, ka skrīdus.
Jā, nekas nekādā runājoties.
Nu, bet vai nav pretrūnu šeit?
Nav pretrūnu, jā. One of the reasons I joined ISKCON was this flowery language of Vedas. Isn't there a contradiction?
Flowery language of the Vedas means elevation to the heavenly planets.
Vedu puķainā valoda nozīmē pacelšanos uz augstākajām planētām.
It doesn't mean the flowery, the wonderful descriptions of the nectar of Krishna consciousness.
Tas nenozīmē šīs brīnišķīgie Krishnas apziņas apraksti.
It means being elevated to becoming a demigod in the heavenly planets. That's the flowery language of the Vedas.
Tas nozīmē pacelties, vēl pacelties uz šiem te padievu līmeniem, līdz padievu planētām.
It doesn't mean the wonderful descriptions of the nectarian nature of Krishna bhakti. It doesn't mean that.
Tas nenozīmē šos brīnišķīgos Krishna bhakti aprakstus.
Yeah. Just like it's described, you worship this demigod, you can get a beautiful wife. You worship this demigod, you can become rich. This is the flowery language of the Veda.
Brīnišķīgā valoda nozīmē, ka ir aprakstīts, ka jūs kalposiet šim padievam, tu jūs kļūsiet bagās, un kalposiet šim padievam, jūs kļūsiet, saņemsiet skaistu sievu.
Fulfilling material desires.
Piepildīt materiālās vēlmes.
That's what Krishna is talking about here.
Par to šeit runā Krishna.
There's certainly very there's one word, flowery, but there's also another word. What is the most sublime of all flowers? That is the lotus.
Šeit ir vārds puķēns, bet kas ir brīnišķīgākā no visām puķēm ziediem? Tas ir lotus.
So the descriptions of how you can achieve material success through the Vedic system, those are flowery descriptions.
Un tie apraksti, kā jūs varat materiālus panākumus gūt savu vēdisko sistēmu, tie ir šie puķēni apraksti.
And the descriptions of the inconceivable nectar you can taste through Krishna bhakti, those are lotus descriptions.
Un tie apraksti par to, kā jūs varat šo neaptvaro Krishna bhakti nektāru sasniegt, tie ir lotus apraksti.
It's just a matter of the right flower, that's all.
Tas ir vienkārši jautājums par pareizajām puķēm.
We're not interested in daisies.
No, margrietiņās, kā cieši interesēts.
We want the roses, the lotuses.
Mēs gribam lotuses.
So the daisies, that's the heavenly pleasures of higher upper planets.
Margrietiņas, tās ir augstākās planētas.
But the lotus, that is the Vaikuntha world.
Bet lotus, tā ir Vaikuntha.
Those lotus-like descriptions given in Brahma Samhita, we are very much attracted to those, and those are very good for our Krishna consciousness.
Tie lotus-vedīgi apraksti, kas ir Brahma Samhita dot, tie ir brīnišķīgi, tiem mēs pietiekamies.
So do you understand here that this flowery language means the material sense gratification? It doesn't refer to the nectar of bhakti.
Tas tā puķainā valoda neatiecās uz bhakti nektāru, bet uz šiem te materiālo vēlmi apmierināšanu.
Next question.
Bhakti Romāns man būs uzdot šo jautājumu. Ko darīt audzēkņiem tad, ja lekcijas laikā, piemēram, kāds no jautātājiem uzdod jautājumus no tādā neadekvātā noskaņojumā? Vai gaidīt skolotāju norādījumus vai pašam kaut kā rīkoties?
Bhakta Roman asked me to ask this question. If during a lecture, and especially during a question-answer session, mm-hmm. one is inquiring in an appropriate way, for example, in interrupting...
In an inappropriate way, okay.
Yes, for example, interrupting one's Guru Maharaj. And what a disciple... It's about disciples. What a disciple... Should a disciple react anyhow, or should one just wait for instructions for their Guru Maharaj?
It depends. If someone pulls out a gun, then you don't wait for the instruction.
Tas ir atkarīgs. No situācijas, ja kāds izvelk ierodas, tad nav jāgaida nekādas instrukcijas norādījumi.
It depends. Yeah, one has to be intelligent because the spiritual master also is very expert.
It was about if that mood, if it's a verbal attack or.
It's better to let the spiritual master handle it. The spiritual master is very expert. It's better to let him handle those things.
Tas jautājums vairāk jau nu mutiski, ja tā agresīvi uzbrūk, tad labāk ir ļaut, lai garīgais skolotājs, kurš ir ļoti pieredzējis, viņš tiks ar to galā.
Unless it's very obvious that a third party stepping in can make a big difference.
Ja vien nav tas ļoti acīm redzami, ka
the third person entering in the conversation can actually make a big difference.
Tāpēc, ka trešā persona iejaucoties kādā sarunā var ļoti izmainīt to visu.
Sometimes the neophyte disciples don't really understand what's going on.
Dažkārt neofīti mācīgi, viņi pat nesaprot, kas patiesībā notiek.
Just like one time, Prabhupada was giving a lecture at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston.
Bostonā Prabhupada deva lekciju Massachusetts Technology Institute.
And he was arguing with there was a Maivadi, he was arguing with Prabhupada.
Tur bija Maivadi, kas savu uzsāk strīdu ar Prabhupada.
And Prabhupada became very heavy with him. He grabbed him by the shirt and said, what's the difference between a shirt and a cotton ball or something like that? Yeah. He's making a point. What's the difference between this shirt and a cotton ball? Is it all one? If it's all one. Prabhupada was very heavy.
Prabhupada grabbed him.
He grabbed his shirt.
Viņi strīdījās tik ļoti, ka Prabhupada pat satiek viņa kreklo.
Not his, but the speaker. The one.
The speaker, yeah. Prabhupada grabbed his.
Yes.
Yeah. Prabhupada satiek tā cilvēka kreklo un jautāja, ja jau viss ir viens, tad tur jau nav atšķirības starp te.
So the devotees thought they would intervene. They called a taxi cab and they wanted to get Prabhupada out of there. They thought he'd lost his temper.
Jā, un tie audzēgi izsauc taksi un gribēja dabūt Prabhupādu ārā no tempļa.
That was simply the disciples' foolishness.
Un tā bija vienkārši mācekļu muļķība.
Prabhupāda was completely in control of his senses. He was just making a very strong point, that's all.
Prabhupāda pilnībā kontrolēja savus jūtības. Viņš vienkārši ļoti aktīvi asi norādīja, izteica savu viedokli.
So one has to be intelligent enough to not disturb the spiritual master also. Even though he may be sometimes heavily dealing with a challenge. One should not think that he knows more than the spiritual master. That is an offense called impertinently surpassing a superior Vaishnava. Impertinently means
bezkalnīgi iejaukties. Surpassing is
impertinently means
I understand impertinently.
Impertinently surpassing, going beyond a superior Vaishnava.
Iejaukties augstākā Vaishnava darbība.
So as a general rule, you should just let the spiritual master is more expert than you. You should let him do his work.
Un pamatlikums ir tāds, ka garīgais skolotājs ir pietiekami ir pieredzējis un ļaujiet viņam darīt viņa darbu.
Next question, yes.
What in the case when the inquirer is blasphemous at the same time? Does the disciple do something or not?
Yes, if there's an actual blasphemy going on, then at that point one could step in.
Ja notiek zaimošana, tad gan vajadzētu rīkoties.
Because a devotee will tolerate all blasphemy against himself, but he won't tolerate blasphemy against someone else.
jo bhakta, viņš var paciest zaimošanu attiecībā pret sevi, bet viņš nevar paciest zaimošanu attiecībā pret kādu citu.
Especially his spiritual master.
Īpaši pret garīgo skolotāju.
So if the challenger becomes blasphemous, that's when the disciple should step in to defend his guru. Blasphemous.
Offensive also.
Yeah, same thing.
Un, ja, ja tas izaicinātājs kļūst zaimojošs, apvainojošs.
If he starts offending the spiritual master, that is blasphemy, same thing. So that is answered now. All right. Questions more? Yeah.
И то, что случилось в жизни, оно не соответствует. Там есть так, что, ну, как будто ты готов свою душу открыть всем. Но по практике уже я знаю, 12-15 лет, еще не было такого случая, да, чтобы на самом деле это так высоко оценивалось, да, если мы друг другу доверяем, но при малейшем таком этом самом, ну, как бы, по кармическим, может быть, действиям, у нас есть страх, что вот расскажут кому-то, это сокровенно не останется. У нас есть очень большая проблема, что между нами нет такой большой доверия, чтобы друг другу рассказать, что мы чувствуем. Даже о своем духовном учителе мы ничего не можем говорить, потому что нет вот это взаимных отношений. А как быть вот этим принципом, что преданные должны делиться сокровенными друг другом? Что это значит? Это при каких уровнях? Это в уровне храма это происходит? Или тогда, когда становишься гуру или вот чистый преданный, когда друг друга и могут и мысли там понять, да? Но безусловно понимают, оно не телепатия, да, духовный уровень. Как быть вот? Что значит? При каких обстоятельствах можно открыться другому преданному? Ну как вот? Кто это преданный? Кто может показать, вот могу ли я открыться, кто мне может сказать, вот идите, вот под Леонида, откройте свои души, он никогда вас не предаст, или вот Валентина, или кто-то. Где это доверие? Кто нам скажет, кому можно открыться, кому нет?
At the very beginning, 12-15 years ago, when we joined ISKCON, at the very beginning, we had only these books, and we studied these books very carefully. And there wasn't this temple here. And
there was?
Wasn't.
Was not.
Yeah. At the very beginning, there were only books. And by studying these books, we get to know about relationships between Vaishnavas. But then later, the reality we experienced was different. One thing that was these relationships described in the books, with one thing and reality was another thing. And the question, the main question is that it is said that devotees should open their heart, they should share.
Kas ir sakravienai, Matiši, kā ir angliski sakravienai?
Confidentially?
Yeah, confidence.
They should open their hearts to each other. But I'm afraid, I can't remember even one case when I were able to share my heart without being afraid that it would be said further. And who can tell me, who is that person I could share my heart with? How to understand that statement that devotees should share their hearts with each other?
Yes, you have to find those devotees. There are devotees available that you can share your heart with, and it's not they're not going to use it against you. There are such devotees around.
Ir tādi bhaktas, kas ar kuriem var atvērt savas sirdis un kas neizmantos to nekad pret jums.
Like there's one sitting beside you right now.
Un viens no šādiem bhaktām šobrīd sēž blakus jums.
So you have to find those devotees that you can open your heart up to without any fear of being exploited.
Un jums vienkārši ir jāatrod tie bhaktas, ar kuriem jūs varat atvērt savas sirdis un kas jūs neeksploatēs pēc tam.
And you have to open your heart to them.
Un jums ir jāatver savas sirds viņiem.
And by doing that, your heart will become full of bliss.
Un tā darot, jūsu sirds tiks piepildīta ar prieku.
See, the neophyte devotee needs to find people that can help him or her to move up from Krishna consciousness.
Iesācējs bhakta, viņam ir nepieciešams atrast kādu, kurš viņam palīdz attīstīties Krishnas apziņā.
But as one advances in Krishna consciousness, you can be in the mood of giving to others to help them actually have that confidentiality that they seek.
Bet tad, kad jūs kļūstat jau progresējot Krishnas apziņā, ir jāparādās šai vēlmei dot tiem, kas to meklē, šo nepieciešamību, apmierināt viņu nepieciešamību pēc vēlmes dalīties ar kādu.
So, by finding those devotees that you can truly open your heart to without any fear.
Un atrodot tos bhaktas, kuriem jūs varat atvērt savu sirdi, pilnīgi nebaidoties ne par ko.
And taking full, complete advantage of their association.
Un baudīt visas tās priekšrocības, ko šāda biedrošanās dod.
You will become solidly situated in Krishna consciousness.
Jūs nostiprināsieties vēl vairāk Krishnas apziņā.
And then you will be able to give shelter to so many other devotees.
Un tad jums būs iespēja dot patvērumu tik daudziem citiem bhaktām.
Your first business is to find that devotee or devotees where you can take shelter.
Jūsu galvenais uzdevums ir atrast to bhaktu vai bhaktas, pie kuriem jūs varat iegūt patvērumu.
That's your first business.
Tā ir pirmā lieta, ko jums vajadzētu darīt.
Those devotees, they exist.
Un šādi bhaktas, viņi eksistē.
Do you think Prabhupada would give us that verse if there were no such devotees available?
Vai jūs domājat, ka Prabhupada mums būtu devis šo te pantu, ja šādu bhaktu nebūtu?
Do you think Prabhupada is so cruel? He would give us that verse if there were no such devotees available?
Vai jūs domājat, ka Prabhupada būtu bijis tik nežēlīgs un devis šādu pantu, ja nebūtu šādu bhaktu?
No. There are such devotees available for you right now.
Un ir, tieši šobrīd, ir šādi bhaktas, kas jums ir pieejami.
You simply have to take advantage of their association, that's all.
Jums vienkārši ir jāizmanto iespēju biedroties ar viņiem.
Do you understand?
Vai jūs saprotat? I don't speak English in any way. I need a translator who will translate it for me, what you just said. It's again this.
Okay, so kindly help someone help her to understand. She needs a Russian? Russian. Who speaks Russian here? Oh, okay. So we just need a trustworthy translator then.
Yes. So I have a point here to make if I can. Can I make a point here? Lord Chaitanya had big followers, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, but he had only three and a half confidential associates.
That's right.
And what Lord Chaitanya meant by confidential, which Rupa Goswami mentions, is not that we talk talk about critically about another devotee, Krishna, you know, finding faults with another devotee, but it's Krishna Katha, confidential topic.
Yeah. Well, Lord Chaitanya meant, for him, confidential means those who you can talk about Radha and Krishna's pastimes with, without any material love.
Kungam Chaitanyam bija daudz sekotāju, taču no visiem tiem tikai bija trīs, ar kuriem viņš atļāvās konfidenciāli dalīties. Un konfidenciāli dalīties nenozīmē, ka slepeni kritizē citus, bet konfidenciāli dalīties nozīmē Krishna Katha. Un tur nedrīkstāt būt nekādas bājas. Un tur nav bājas par to, ka to varētu kāds pastāstīt kādam citam.
But Prabhupada gives example of two businessmen doing, making a deal, how they can talk confidentially also.
Prabhupada arī dod piemēru par to, kā divi biznesmeņi konfidenciāli veids darījumu.
So it can be taken in both ways, confidential.
To var konfidenciālitāti, var tikt saprast abējā.
But certainly we could schedule a meeting. I have a trusted, Ujjas here is very trustworthy and very confidential. You could have him as a translator.
Bet ir iespējams organizēt tikšanos, un Uģis man ir uzticams tulks, un viņš varētu palīdzēt šādā reizē.
Hmm? Yeah. You're shaking your head now. What is that? No, Prabhupada gives that example.
Okay.
That's a bona fide example, how even businessmen, to get their work done, they will engage in these systems. Have you not read the purport lately? The Prabhupada gives an example that the businessmen will engage in these six loving exchanges. There's six, doesn't call them love. Prabhupada gives the example that the businessman engages in these exchanges for promoting their business. Prabhupada gives example.
Piemēram par to, kā biznesa cilvēks var iesaistīt šīs sešas aktivitātes, lai virzītu savu biznesu.
So, if you want some confidential revealing of heart, we can arrange it. After our class today, we can arrange that for you.
Ja jūs vēlaties šo tikšanos konfidenciāli, mēs to varam organizēt pēc šīs klases.
So, any other questions? Yeah.
Šrīla Prabhupāda saka, ka vairāk ir jāklausās kā mantru skaita bhaktis un mazāk kā nebhaktis. Jautājums, vai tad nebhaktis vispār skaita mantru?
Šrīla Prabhupāda says, kurā grāmatā? In the book The Science of Self-Realization, Šrīla Prabhupāda says that one should listen to how a devotee chants Maha Mantra and not to how a non-devotee chants Maha Mantra.
Yes,
and
yes.
Question is, does any non-devotee chants Maha Mantra?
Yes. Yes, there are none. In fact, there's a popular singer in the U.S. now. He's a Mayavadi. He chants Hare Krishna and he travels all around doing concerts. And he chants Hare Krishna in these concerts, but he's a Mayavadi. In India it's very common, but now even in America it's going on. The Mayavadis also chant Hare Krishna, but they chant Hare Krishna for the purpose of merging into Brahman.
Arī Mayavadi skaita Hare Krishna, bet viņi to dara ar mērķi, lai saplūst no Brahma.
They think that I'm Krishna, you're Krishna, and we're all Krishna.
Viņi domā, es esmu Krishna, tu esi Krishna, mēs visi esam Krishna.
I personally know of a Mayavadi who had that attitude.
I personally know
of a Mayavadi who had that attitude.
Es personiski zinu Mayavadi, kā
He would chant Hare Krishna and he would think, I am Krishna. While he was chanting, in fact, he even went to the temple and he was chanting at the temple and the devotee said, oh, you're chanting so nicely. And he laughed to himself, oh, if they only knew that I am Krishna. Yes, I personally know there was such a Mayavadi person who was, went to the temple and he was chanting Hare Krishna, thinking that he was Krishna. So to hear from such people Hare Krishna mantra, it is not very good, it's poison. You must hear from Vaishnavas, not Mayavadis. Next question.
It is proved by scientists that both Latvian and Russian languages, they have ancient Indian language roots. They come from. And it is said that this Vedic culture that existed even here in Latvia or in Russia, territory we call Latvia or Russia, was destroyed by invaders, Germans and Swedes, but in general by invaders. Invaders destroyed by killing saintly people. They destroyed that Vedic culture. But in India, they also experienced different invaders, including Turks and British. But what's the difference? How it happened that in India, still there is a Vedic culture, but here in Europe, it doesn't exist.
In India, India was the stronghold of Vedic culture.
Stronghold means?
Stronghold means the place where it was the most strong.
India, Vedic culture, maybe specifically.
So actually, it is. Have you been to India? There's practically, in India nowadays, it's practically no Vedic culture left. It's practically finished. The place now where you find Vedic culture the most strong is in Prabhupada's movement. That's where Vedic culture has taken shelter now, in Prabhupada's books, and in Prabhupada, those who are strictly following the books.
Un šī kultūra ir pieņēmusi patvērumu Prabhupādas grāmatās un starp tiem, kas seko šīm grāmatām.
You go to India now, you'll find everybody walking around with mobile phones and wearing blue jeans.
Jūs aizbrauksiet uz Indiju, jūs redzēsiet cilvēku staigā, runājot ar mobiliem telefoniem džinsās.
There now the boys and girls are having illicit sex in the university dormitories like crazy.
Un universitātes kopmītnēs jauniešiem seksuāls attiecības kā trakie.
Especially in the last 20 years, India has really gone down the hill fast. So India is, even in Vrindavan, the young girls are wearing blue jeans.
But Vrindavan, jaunas meitenes staigā dzīvos džinsos.
So it's the real shelter of Vedic culture is now in ISKCON.
Un īstais vēdiskās kultūras patvērums šodien ir ISKCON.
But there's still some signs of it in India. They're still there. The traces are still there.
Yeah, bet ir vēl pazīmes, vēdiskās kultūras pazīmes.
Because India was the headquarters of Vedic culture.
Tāpēc, ka Indija bija tā galvenā mītne vēdiskās kultūrā.
It was most strong there.
Visspēcīgākā tur.
Questions more? Yeah.
This morning that today is Radha Damodar appearance day, and could you share more about how they appeared and how did they the proper word to
use? Yes, choir.
A choir.
Yes. It was the day after Nisringa Chaturdasi in 1978. One of the leading devotees of ISKCON, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, was walking on Juhu Beach in India, in Bombay.
1978. Gadā, kad next day after the Nisringa Chaturdasi.
The day after Nisringa Chaturdasi, yeah.
Pēc nākamajā dienā, dienā pēc kunga Nisimkas.
It was the early morning.
Agri no rīta Tamal Krishna Maharaj pastaigājās pa Juhu pludmali Bombajā.
The tide was very, very far out to sea.
Un tas bērgums bija ļoti liels.
The sun was just beginning to rise in the east.
Saul tikko lēca austrumos.
And exactly opposite, where the moon was just setting in the west.
Un tieši pretējā pusē bija mēnesis rietumos.
So astrologically it was a very auspicious moment.
Un astroloģiski tas bija ārkārtīgi labvēlīgs moments. Prīz.
And he looked in the sand and there was something shiny in the sand.
Un viņš paraudzījās smiltīs un tur kaut kas mirdzēja smiltīs.
He sent one devotee to pick it up, and there it was, a little deity of Krishna.
Un viņš aizsūtīja vienu no baktām to pacelt, un tā bija maza Krishnas dievība.
So they brought it back to the temple.
Un to viņš aiznesa to uz templi.
And Tamal Krishna Goswami began to take his breakfast.
Un Tamal Krishna Goswami uzsāka brokastis.
But then he started feeling very, very guilty.
Un tad viņš sāka justies ļoti, ļoti vainīgs.
That Krishna has been going hungry, sitting in the sand for who knows how long, and here I am eating, and he's going hungry.
Un viņš padomāja, ka Krishna ir bijis smiltīgs, nezin cik gadus, un viņš ir izsācis, un es tagad gatavojos ēst.
So he immediately stopped his eating.
Un viņš nekavēties pārtrauc.
And he began then polishing the deity.
Un viņš sāka slaucīt par pulēt to dievību.
And then someone found a nice, in the temple there was a nice singhasan, and they brought that, and there was a whole nice arrangement made, clothing was made, etc. The queen of Jaipur brought a Radharani to match, same size Radharani.
The queen of
Jaipur. Queen of Jaipur, a state of India. A city in the
Jaipuras ķēniņiem, tad city. Visi sagatavots visi tērpi, tur tika atrast un tā, un tad ķēniņiem, Jaipuras ķēniņiem atnesa tādu pašu izmēru dievību.
So in this way, the worship of Shri Radha Damodara was begun.
Un tādā veidā kalpošana Šriši Radhe Damodaram sākas.
So, for many years, His Holiness Tamaha Krishna Goswami, he traveled around the world carrying Šriši Radhe Damodara with him.
Un daudzus gadus Tamaha Krishna Goswami ceļoja pa pasauli un vadāja sev līdz šīs dievības.
Worshipping them very nicely.
Un kalpojot viņām ļoti labi.
And then by Krishna's grace, before some years, many years ago, he gave those deities to us.
Un tad ar Krishna žēlstības, vairākus gadus atpakaļ, viņš iedeva šīs dievības mums, nodeva šīs dievības mums.
And now we are worshipping them.
Un tagad mēs kalpojam tām.
We first thought, well, we don't want to trouble them by taking them traveling around the world.
Sākumā mēs neplānojām ņemt viņus līdz savos pasaules ceļojumus.
We used to leave them in Dallas with some devotees whenever we went traveling.
Mēs parasti atstājām tās pie baktām Dallasā, kā bijām prom.
But then we noticed that they were behaving in a rather possessive way with the deities. They were acting like they owned the deities.
Bet tad mēs pamanījām, ka tie baktas tā darbojās, izturās tādā veidā, it kā tās būtu viņu dievības.
And we got worried that they may try to keep them.
Un tad mēs sākām uztraukties, ka viņi varētu vēl paturēt tās dievības.
Tamaha Krishna Goswami had told us, actually, you can travel with the deities.
Un tad Tamaha Krishna Goswami teica, jūs varat ceļot ar dievībām.
So we thought it better to take his advice and not leave them with those devotees in Dallas any longer.
Un tad mēs nolēmām, ka vairs neatstāsim dievības Dallasā, bet sakosim masaču.
So in this way we are traveling all over the world and they are blessing everyone all over the world with their causeless mercy.
Un tā mēs ar viņām ceļojam pa visu pasauli un viņas svētīgi dod svētību ikvienam savu bezcēlojumu svētību ikvienam žēlstību.
And they have come to bless you now.
Un viņas arī ieradušās, lai dod šo svētību jums tagad.
You have to take advantage of their mercy.
Jums vajadzētu izmantot šo.
By bowing down at their feet and begging for pure bhakti.
Un noliekties pie viņām un lūgt pure bhakti.
If you beg them for pure bhakti, they will give it to you very happily.
Un ja jūs lūksieties pēc tīra bhakti, viņš ar prieku jums to dos.
Any other questions?
Vai vēl kādi jautājumi?
So, is that it? All right, that's it. Oh, wait, there was one more question. I saw a hand back here then.
There are saintly persons, saintly people, but then there are people who, for example, hear voices and they believe that God has told them something, and they then act accordingly and finally have problems, let's say, with government and law. And how to distinguish between
therefore a bona fide spiritual master is required.
Tāpēc īstens garīgais skolotājs ir nepieciešams.
You must take shelter of the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master, and then you will know you're properly situated.
Jums ir jāpieņem patvērums pie paties garīgā skolotāja lotus pēdām.
The bona fide spiritual master will be physically manifested on this planet.
Drošībā un garīgais skolotājs materiālā veidā izpaužās uz šīs pasaules.
There are many demoniac disembodied beings floating out there in the astral realm.
ir ļoti daudz demoniskas būtnes, kas ir ārpus ķermeņiem, kas ir piepildījušas no telpu.
You should not take siksha or instructions from such demoniac disembodied beings.
Disembodied, which
disembodied means with no gross body, yeah.
Un jums nav jāpieņem patvērums pie šādām nemateriālām demoniskām būtnēm.
You should take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master that Krishna has sent you. Take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master that Lord Krishna has sent you.
Un jums ir jāpieņem patvērums pie tā garīgā skolotāja, ko Krishna jums ir sūtījis.
And then you will be properly situated.
Un tad jūs būsiet pareizā stāvoklī.
But we start trying to hear different voices and doing what the voices say, then we're definitely going to be misguided.
Bet ja mēs sākam dzirdēt kādas balsis un darām to, ko šīs balsis mums saka, tad mēs pilnīgi noteikti tiekam novirzīti no ceļa.
So there was one other question there. Oh, there's two more questions.
How to help? Can we help such people? If they don't want to...
No, if they don't want to be helped, then what can you do? You can give them some prasadam, give them a book. If they don't want to hear from you, what you can do?
Viņi lasa, viņi pieņem un turpinā šie procesi.
Jā,
jā.
Bet vienkārši satraukumi cilvēkiem. Ja cilvēkiem ir satraukumi, kā palīdzēt, ja viņiem nav tie satraukumi, kad viņi ir it kā to bakti sākums, bet nenāk sevišķi daudz uz tempi.
Viņi lasa, viņi ēd, bet viņi nenāk uz tempi.
Nu, nenāk sevišķi.
Kā viņiem palīdzēt?
Jā.
Un viņiem ir satraukumi. But there are some people who take prasadam, they read books, but still their mind is disturbed and they don't attend the temple lectures. They don't come to the temple. How to help such people?
Become strong in Krishna consciousness. So that you can inspire them by your spiritual advancement.
Tā, ka jūs spējat viņus iedvesmot ar savu garīgo attīstību.
You have to become strong.
Jums ir jākļūst stingri.
And then you can help them.
Un tad jūs varēsiet palīdzēt viņiem.
To where you can inspire them by your advanced Krishna consciousness.
Tad jūs varēsiet viņus iedvesmot ar savu attīstību Krishnas apziņā.
Physician, heal thyself. It means heal yourself. If you want to be a doctor, to help other people become strong in Krishna consciousness, your first duty is that you become strong in Krishna consciousness. If you are weak in Krishna consciousness, then how you can help them become strong in Krishna consciousness? So your first duty is that you become strong in Krishna consciousness. And then when you have that bhakti shakti, then you can help so many people. So you must become fixed in following the regulated principles. You must be fixed in chanting Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna at least 16 rounds daily. You should adopt the items of sadhana bhakti very strictly. And then you'll become powerful preacher. And you'll be able to uplift them by your spiritual potency.
Un tad ar savu garīgo potenciālu, tad jūs viņus varēsiet pacelt uz augšu.
So you had a question?
Kā mēs varam tīri lūkties tīri bhakti, ja mēs esam paši netīri? How can we purely beg for pure bhakti if we are not pure?
Oh, that's the ideal position from which to beg for it.
Tā ir tā ideālā situācija, par kuru ir jālūdzas.
How can you beg for food when you're going hungry?
Kā tad lūgt pēc ēdiena, ja jūs esat izsalis?
That's the ideal position from which to beg for food when you're starving to death.
Un tas ir vislabākais stāvoks, kurā lūgt pēc ēdiena, tad, kad tu mirsti nost no bāda.
Right now you're suffering from a lack of pure bhakti.
Labam, jūs ciešat tāpēc, ka jums trūkst tīra bhakti.
Isn't it? Aren't you suffering now?
Vai tad tā nav? Vai tad jūs neciešat šobrīd?
Yeah. So, in that suffering condition, you're desperate.
Un šajā ciešana pilnajā stāvoklī jūs esat izmisusi.
So you simply have to honestly express your desperation to the Lord.
Un šādā stāvoklī jums vienkārši ir godīgi jāizpauž savus izmisums Dievam.
Just honestly reveal your heart, my dear Lord, I am greatly suffering now because I don't have pure bhakti. Please, Krishna, save me from my miserable condition by giving me pure bhakti.
Un šādā stāvoklī jums jāatklāj savas sirds kungam un jāsaka, man trūkst šī te tīrā bhakti un lūdzu, kungs glāb man, dod man šo tīro bhakti.
Any other questions?
Vēl kādi jautājumi?
All right, we will stop here. Gantaraja Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srimad Sankarsan Dasatikari ki jai.